Well, I want you to look in several scriptures this morning, and obviously, it being Easter Sunday, it is good to focus on the resurrection. And that's what I want to do, just looking at several scriptures and giving a little teaching, really, on one main aspect of the resurrection. I want you to begin in chapter 5 of John's Gospel. As I say, we'll look at several scriptures. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and we'll read down just a few verses from verse 25. So this is John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 25. I want you to look carefully at something that is present in verse 25 and something which is not present in verse 28. You'll find that there are things that are present in both those verses. But in verse 28, there is a particular tiny phrase that is not present in verse 25. This is what Jesus said. Verily, verily, and everybody here knows, of course, that that is the word Amen. Amen. Jesus repeating the words Amen, Amen. This is certain. This is certain. I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, marvel not, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. All right? Has anybody spotted the phrase present in verse 25 that's not there in verse 28? And now is. That's right. There is that which now is, and there is that which is to come, when everybody shall hear his voice, and there shall be resurrection. There is resurrection now, up to a point, for a select few. For a select few, there is resurrection now. For those that hear his voice, there is new life now for those who will hear his voice, a remnant from among the nations. Also a remnant from among the Jewish nation, as there always has been. Not the majority of the Chinese, not the majority of Africans, not the majority of men and women from the United States or Europe. Some. And they hear his voice, and they experience a resurrection life now. They hear his voice. I hope that you will all notice that this resurrection life is linked with you listening and not being an opinionated know-all, thinks you know it. Listening to his voice, it brings life. Not listening to his word, there is a difference between his word and his voice. You can read your Bible until you're absolutely full of it and able to repeat every verse of it and be an expert in the doctrines of it. But it's to hear his voice, which of course, among other things, does come through his word. But you must never think that life comes through the word. Life comes through the voice. And that's very important. The voice. I always remember when in a church where I was and it had responsibility, there was a man who was gifted to preach and gifted in some of the gifts of the Spirit, including speaking in tongues. When a person speaks in tongues, their spirit speaks. Well, because he was such a good brother, it was suggested that he was made into a leader, an elder, as an elder. And in our particular church, everything was done by unanimity, agreement. And on this, over these weeks when people were considering it, we opened up the subject, should this man be an elder? And as it was continued, I listened to what people said. Sometimes people came and talked to me privately. And I found that one or two of the people, more than one or two, had misgivings. And so did I. Not misgivings that he was a believer, not misgivings that he was gifted, not misgivings that he could preach and that it was a gift of God, but misgivings that at this point in his life, he should be given care in the churches. And in the end, it came to a kind of mild crisis in the church. And in the end, I was forced by people to say, well, what do you think, Bernard? And I said this, I'm not happy at this stage that this brother should be recognized as a shepherd in the church. Why? People said. And I said, because when he speaks in tongues, where I hear his naked spirit, I'd already talked to him privately about this before. You see, when a person speaks in tongues, you hear their naked spirit. And his naked spirit, when he spoke in tongues, it was like a machine gun. There was a hardness about his spirit yet. One of the things about shepherds of the flock, they must be broken men. Men who are not hard in their spirits. After I'd said this, his wife came to me. And she said this to me, among other things. She said, thank you. She said, you know, when we moved to this city and into this church, the first time that I knew that we were moving was when I saw the realtor putting a for sale notice up in our front yard. He never talked to me about it before. He never talks to me about anything at all. Thank you. What she said. You see, it's in the voice, and you need to ask God, every one of you, O Lord, let me hear your voice. Give me ears that hear. Because when you hear his voice, you shall live. That's what it says. That's what Jesus said. He said, the hour is coming and now is. So as Jesus was on the earth then, there were people who were hearing his voice then. And behold, they were dead. And they shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They that hear shall live. Resurrection. Resurrection now. Then there's an hour coming. Not yet. In which all that are in lives shall hear his voice. All. Do you know when the Father spoke from heaven on one occasion, some said it thundered. That's all the voice sounded like, thunder. Others, they heard what he said. They heard the voice. But then there's going to come a day when all without exception shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And some shall come forth to a resurrection of what? What does it say?
Life.
Right. And they that have done evil shall come forth to a resurrection of damnation. Man alive. They're going to hear his voice. And without exception. No one. Obama shall hear his voice. Hitler shall hear his voice. Marx shall hear his voice. Lenin shall hear his voice. Engels shall hear his voice. George Bernard Shaw, who thought God was an idiot, shall hear his voice. Yes, Paris Hilton shall hear his voice. Oh yeah. Michael Jordan shall hear his voice. I don't know whether Michael Jordan's been ignoring his voice now, but then he shall hear it. And shall come forth unto resurrection, either unto life or unto damnation. No exception. Two resurrections. Two resurrections. One, a resurrection now. A resurrection that is hidden, secret. A secret resurrection. He speaks and he brings life in his voice. Hallelujah. I am shed in his resurrection now. Are you? Because he lives. Because he lives. He's brought life to me.
Hallelujah.
Brought life. And oh, it's wonderful to hear his voice. I know this, that there is something about if you want to live, you got to keep hearing. It's not just, I got born by his voice. 5 years ago, 15 years ago, 50 years ago. But, oh, life is something that is an ongoing reality that is linked with him. That's the thing. So that leads me on to another scripture here. In the Gospel of John, about resurrection. It's in chapter 11. This chapter is, of course, about a man who experienced resuscitation. All right? His name was Lazarus. You remember? How did he get resuscitated? Yes, the voice. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Some things have to be spoken with a loud voice. Other things you can whisper. All right? And then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. But am I right in saying that Lazarus was not resurrected? Am I right? It's important that you get this distinction. Because Lazarus came forth, he was revived. I have no idea how much longer he lived after this. It must have been quite remarkable. But he lived to die. So he died twice in his life. And because you understand what I'm saying. So this is one of the things that you must recognize about healing and about everything that is associated. You know, no one but Jesus has yet been resurrected from the dead. No one but Jesus. Oh, you can experience and should experience and should be experiencing his resurrection life in your heart, but only Jesus has been raised from the dead. There's a difference, you see, because Jesus was raised never to die again. Is that right? Simple, straightforward statements that I'm wanting to make to bring this home to you. And if Jesus be not raised this moment, you are quite stupid to sit there in your seat. If all that can be done for you is a little bit of moral improvement, you die. A touch of healing, and then you die. If that's all, you should be a miserable man and woman. That's simple, isn't it? But if Christ be raised, resurrected to die, no more death. Amen? Resurrection. Wonderful. And this is why, you know, it's an interesting thing about us. There are these two ladies in chapter 11 who were the sisters of Lazarus. Mary and Martha, and you're very familiar with them, probably. Always, it seems to me, ladies penetrate the truth often much more quickly than men. Anyway, Jesus converses. Before he raises their brother from the dead, so that they can live together quite happily for another 30 years, maybe, and that he can make Lazarus a sort of little cameo of the wonder of his power and his glory and his grace. Of course, Mary and Martha are steeped in certain teachings. They both believe in the resurrection. Did you know that? They were good Jewesses. Now, you mustn't think that they were just religious ladies. They were not just religious. They were spiritual. They were lovers of Jesus and lovers of God. And by the way, they were lovers of Jesus because before they loved Jesus, they loved God. Everybody understand that? They had hearts for God. They had obeyed and believed the Jewish doctrine that they had been taught. And when Jesus came on the scene, they believed. And we mustn't think they were just sort of doers. They were people of heart that loved the Lord. And in their doctrine, of course, they weren't Sadducees. All right? Everybody's heard of Sadducees, haven't you? That's right. And you've probably heard the saying, haven't you, about Sadducees. Sadducees were a group of Jewish teachers who did not believe in the resurrection. And it has been said, that's why they were sad, you see. You've heard that one, haven't you? You never heard that one? That's why they were sad, you see. Anyway, it is deep, isn't it? It's deep. I'm glad you recognise my profundity. Anyway, but there were those, like the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection. And the majority of the Jews believed in the resurrection. And, of course, they put it somewhere way into the future. Way into the future. And so Jesus makes this revolutionary statement that you all know awfully well when he's talking to these sisters. What's the statement? Right. All right, let's read it. Can you see it? All right. Okay. Verse 24, read. Well, let's look at verse 23. Martha said to Jesus, I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection in the last day. Verse 23 said, Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. You know, I was at a funeral. That's a memorable funeral. And that was the text that the preacher took. I had to speak in the funeral, but I wasn't the preacher. At that funeral, there was 400 or 500 people. We spilled out after the service onto the street in the town. And as we spilled out, people were walking by and they said, who got married? I'm not telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Who got married? There was such joy. And you'll be at a funeral. And the brother had preached the message, thy brother shall rise again. And somehow it came with power to us. Hallelujah. It's a little bit like last year, one of the ladies in our church, one of the leader's wives, she was walking through a cemetery. Do you walk through cemeteries sometimes? And she was looking at the stones. And she came across this gravestone. And it said, this was the text, the time of the singing of the birds is come. And it just arrested her and she walked on. She thought, that's good. Comes from the Song of Solomon. Spring. The time of the singing of the birds. The winter is past. And then somehow she thought, I'm going to go back. A quarter of an hour later, she went back. And she saw age of the person who died, 17 years old, a young boy, and his parents had put that on the stone, that for this boy, the time of the singing of the birds has come. Why was that? Why were they able to put that there? Because Jesus was the resurrection in them already. In their hearts, he had come with faith, and they knew that somehow, it's all right, for their boy, the time of the singing of the birds has come. It's a great thing. And, you know, when you look at this, thy brother shall rise again. I know he's going to rise. I'm a good Jewish lady. I believe the doctrine that I've been taught. I know that this isn't all there is. I know this. I understand. I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection at the last day. Isn't it good to believe that, isn't it? Yeah. He shall rise at the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection's here. The resurrection's here. Do you believe that? Now, here's one of the growing pains of spiritual life. coming through your deaths to find that the resurrection's here. Coming through your sadnesses, coming through your difficulties to discover the resurrection's here. The resurrection's here. Coming through your own foolishness and finding the resurrection's here. And finding him. You all notice, and I really do believe this, one of the things that really has been getting hold of my heart over the last 10 years or so, more than ever, Oswald Chambers helped me to see this back in 1973. You know, when I was about 1968, that's a long while ago, when I was sort of about 24 or 25, I read Oswald Chambers and I hadn't got a clue what he was saying. I couldn't understand Oswald Chambers. And I would never have read Oswald Chambers again. The only time I ever heard the Lord speak to me with an audible voice, I heard a voice say to me in 1973, "Read Oswald Chambers." I'm not exaggerating. It's the only time I've ever heard a voice. "Read Oswald Chambers." And I... oh, Oswald Chambers. If the Lord hadn't spoken to me, I would never have read him again. Didn't understand him. He was way too beyond me. And I began to read. And the thing that Chambers helped me with, and I devoured him for about 6 months, he refused to allow any doctrine to be disconnected from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He related everything to Jesus, the person. He wouldn't allow you to talk about the resurrection as an abstract idea. He wouldn't allow you to talk about justification as an abstract idea, sanctification as an abstract idea, as something over there, a construct. That's where that many churches go wrong and many preachers go wrong. They're experts in justification, but it's all disconnected from Jesus. They're experts in being holy and do this and let your hair grow. You know, ladies, I mean, if you're going to be holy in some quarters, you see you should have hair as delightfully long as char. You see. I saw a man the other day up in Placerville, and I'd never met him before. And he's bald like me, and but he had a ponytail. And I said to him, I said, "Oh, I've always wanted one of those. So next time, you never know, I might turn up." Is holiness to do with the length of your hair or the absence of it? But some people make it that way. Holiness getting disconnected from Christ. You see. And this is the thing. The resurrection, something that happened at the last day, Jesus says, "I'm here. I'm here. I'm the resurrection. Amen. I'll give you new life even when you're in a death, because I'm here. I'll give you quickenings, refreshings, renewings, even in the midst of your painful circumstances." Oh yes, another thing that I've learnt through the years, much as our idealism and a quest for happiness enshrined in the Constitution, and much as we should feel that that gives us the right to a pain-free life, I've discovered there's no one who doesn't pass painful paths. Some of their own making, some as a result of their own stubbornnesses. And they have with some of the effects of those things. But I have discovered this, that the Lord promises, "I'm the resurrection now. And you can have resurrection now. You can find him now. You can hear his voice now. Let me illustrate this. Let's just say you were on a boat in the midst of a storm and you were in familiar territory to you. And you're aware that it's the middle of the night and this storm is of the most terrible ferocity. You're aware that there's something demonic in it. And you're on your territory. You're fishermen. This is your lake. You're able to read it. This is terrible. And Jesus is not in the boat. And in the midst when things seem lost, he comes walking on the water. But you don't recognize it's him in the midst of the storm. But at first, and they're afraid. You get afraid. And then Jesus says these words, doesn't he? Fear not. I am. I am. The storm says, I am. The waves say, I am. The devil says, I am. Jesus says, I am. Fear not. I am. You see, that's the wonder of the life that's in Christ. That's who he is. And blessed are those who learn to turn from other voices and just listen to that voice. And he says so little. We say so much. Many of us are so talkative, you know. And sometimes you feel, oh Lord, I have to catch myself on. I tell you this, there are times when I have to say, Bernard, stop breathing. Get quiet. Listen. I'll tell you what I hear. I won't tell you all I hear, but the simplest of things. He's always witnessing by his Spirit saying, fear not. I am. I am. And blessed are those who are listening to him and finding the tranquility that comes from him. Rest. I wanted to teach you a song. When the wondrous grace of Jesus my Lord fills me with serenity, and I'm resting, resting, resting in God, that's when his Spirit works in me. Simple song, wonderful song. We can know resurrection from him now. I am the resurrection and the life now. Now. You can know it by his voice. Is there something else that always is saying? Always is saying, I'm Lord. I'm Lord. Jesus is Lord. So what's that? What relevance is it? Every relevance. You get retrenched from your job. You wonder what's going to happen to your health plan.
Retrenched?
Retrenched. Lose your job.
Laid off.
Fired. There's a word for you. Fired. But, you know, he says, I'm Lord. I'm Lord. Very relevant. Resurrection. All right. Let me just say something about the second resurrection that hasn't happened yet. I'm already experiencing the first resurrection. It's a resurrection of heart. I'm alive from the dead. Through him. through him. You're alive from the dead. Alrighty. And brother and sister, I hope that's true of you. You understand that this now means, wonder of wonders, that there is a resurrection to come. Oh, you're looking forward, aren't you? Well, you're not the only one. Did you know that these trees are looking forward to it? Now, there's bugs around. I don't know exactly what they're going to be doing and where they'll be placed. They won't trouble us in the life to come, but there will be bugs. There will be, there will be those things that spray. What are they called? Skunks, that's right. The reason I bring them up, of course, is that we were walking somewhere recently and I was warned that there are skunks in that area. So do not, if you see one, annoy it. Anyway.
Did you?
I did not see one. Do you know, I was jogging a few years back here in California, Northern California, staying with some friends, and they, after I'd jogged a day or two, they said, do you know that 2 weeks ago that someone was, a jogger was killed by a mountain lion up here? That really encouraged me to carry on with my jogging. But in the life to come, you know, the mountain lions will be just like mountain lions are meant to be. So, we are all on tiptoe, aren't we? Waiting for the resurrection. The resurrection that is to come. Because all the creatures are on tiptoe. Oh yes, it sounds strange, doesn't it? But Romans 8, I told you, with Romans 8, very quickly, it says this, Paul says, we're going to be glorified. Verse 17. Now this is what's going to happen. When the resurrection comes, it's going to mean glorification. Now do I look very glorious at the moment?
Yes.
Really?
Somehow that voice carries more weight.
Did you hear all the wrong notes I played on the piano?
Some.
I heard them. Not much glorious there. One day, I tell you, I shall be glorious. I shall be glorified. That means all my powers shall find the fullness that they're meant to have found and has been ruined by sin. And I only know a little bit now, but then, oh, I shall see as a human being was meant to see. Because I shall have a new glorious body with sight that can actually look at God. My eyes shall be changed. My ears shall be unblocked. My powers shall be changed. So will yours. This is what the resurrection is. I shall have a body like unto his glorious body, who is able to sit on the throne beside his Father. This is where we're going. This is where it's all moving toward. This will put Paris Hilton into the shade indeed. And the world's most beautiful woman, who is reckoned to be Angelina Jolie at the moment. A man alive, she's not a bad looker. But it doesn't matter at all. Do you understand what I'm saying? The glories of man. The glory of the body of man. The muscular this, the artistic that, the gymnast, the glorious music that the composers have made, it shall all be in the shade compared with what shall come, the glory. We shall be glorified.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe this? You see, the glory, verse 18 of chapter 8, at the end of the verse, the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, for the creature is on tiptoe. That's why I said the phrase tiptoe, because the Greek word, which occurs about seven times in the New Testament, always linked with looking for the resurrection and the coming of Jesus. It's always linked with that. It's the actual Greek word that means it's on tiptoe. We're on tiptoe looking for the coming of the resurrected one who shall bring in the resurrection of us. We shall be raised. Amen. We shall be raised. Looking forward to it? Are you on tiptoe? I mean, this is very important because we get really earthbound. And we don't see the now moment of the suffering that he mentions in verse 18. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is revealed in us. I sometimes wonder if we should talk much about suffering, because most of us don't suffer much. But we suffer some. Not physical suffering, many of us. There are sufferings of the soul that are actually more penetrating and more awful than sufferings of the body. But anyway, the glory that shall be revealed in, and all these creatures are waiting. It's funny of a dog. You know, I get hints of this. I do. I'm a bit peculiar, I know. I look at the cats walking around, and a cat comes to me. You know, and you know how aloof cats are often. You know, dogs, of course, wear their hearts on their sleeve. You know what I mean? But it's almost as though they want to talk but can't. Do you think that one day they'll be able to talk? You know what we're talking about here? You see, when the resurrection of the God's people comes, because the resurrected one comes, you're saying, well, why are we waiting? What are we waiting for? You see, there's no resurrection for our bodies until the resurrection comes. He's got to come in his body. He's got to come in his body. And when he comes in his body, then the resurrection will happen. And it won't be resuscitation. You understand that even this heaven and earth, they shall be changed somehow. We don't actually understand. Some scriptures you read, you think everything's going to be burned up and it's going to be all brand new. Other scriptures seem to indicate that in the burning, it shall be transformed, and it shall be all new. So it will be this, gone through fire, trees gone through fire, and we don't understand it, and it shall all be new. And heaven and earth shall meet. The cows shall have proper bodies, glorious bodies, according to their appropriate glory. And, of course, the cats have appropriate glory that's appropriate to them. And the dogs, and I get hints of this when they look at me, and it's almost as though they're on tiptoe. When's the resurrection coming? When's the resurrection coming? We've been suffering for a long while because you sinned in Adam and you messed everything up, and we've been suffering. And it's as though the deserts of Arizona, where we were last week, were crying out saying, when shall we be watered places? And we're deserts because of you sinned in Adam, and you messed everything up. But thou, our Creator, has redeemed you, and we're waiting for Jesus to come. And when he comes, you shall come in glory, and the creation shall say at last. That's what Paul is teaching in chapter 8 of Romans. You can read these verses down from the verse that I'm showing you. Wonderful. Does it sound disconnected to you? This is a great, big, wondrous story. Hallelujah. Last scripture. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Last scripture. I want you to look at this. Remember what I've been saying about two resurrections. One we can experience now. A heart one. One that is to come. When Jesus comes, both of them absolutely linked with the person of Christ. If you will continue to live in your stubbornnesses and obstinacies, you will find that Jesus will not be a voice heard by you often. So you will not live except within the constraints and of your own little personal world. But if you'll hear his voice, you will have a heart that's like this. Here's Philippians 3, verse 10. That I may know him. Now this is an old apostle writing. A man of 60 years old at least, who'd walked with the Lord for 30 years, loved God for longer than that. That I may know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. You must let that burn in you. Oh, let me know the power of your resurrection. Let me know the power of your life, Lord Jesus, in me, knowing it, experiencing it, correcting my corrupted thinking, straightening out my distorted views. Oh, yes. Some people look out through the lenses of their own twisted minds and everything's against them. Men are horrible to some ladies. Men are horrible because looking out through their corrupted, twisted minds, the male is a chauvinist and they tar everyone with the same brush. Men look out through the corrupted lenses of their own things and they look on the woman as a body to be used. You know what I'm saying? Oh, to know the power of his resurrection that makes my spirit new. And the wondrous of sanctification begins where I begin to look out not through twisted lenses of my own mind, but my mind is corrected and I become someone who thinks right, looks. Amen. This is what holiness is in practice. Because Christ's in us. Am I making sense as I say these things? Ah. And our will that was so, you know, have you met that charming young woman and you know that you look at her? She's, butter wouldn't melt in her mouth, but underneath she's tough as an old boot. Strong-willed. Because in a strong will it's like this. That's the fruit of sin. When Christ is in you and his resurrection's life is working, it doesn't stop you being strong-willed. He turns your will so that it flows with his will. This is the beauty. Yes. So that, you see, Bernard is strong. You know, some people say that to me. You know, you're strong. All right for you. But is my strength, has it been swallowed up by his resurrection life, so his resurrection life is quickening me more and more, so that in no way do I crush anybody with my strength? You with me? This is his resurrection life. That I might know the power of his resurrection in me. I'm emphasizing only this. Because when I look at the next phrase, and the fellowship of his sufferings, I am intrigued by the fact that it's only in that order that you can really handle the fellowship of things. You know, his resurrection life. It sounds all back to front, doesn't it? You receive his resurrection life and you're led into situations of suffering. All right, enough said. We can know that and these things now. And that was Paul's heart. End of the chapter. It says, verse 20, our manner of life is in heaven, whence also we are on tiptoe. Does your Bible say look? Yes. And it's the same Greek word. We're on tiptoe.
Eagerly wait.
Eagerly wait. Yep. Yes. We're on tiptoe. Looking. We're eagerly waiting for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Our vile body, that it may be changed in its form with him, changed in its form, fashioned like unto his glorious body. Oh. With this I want to stop. I just want to say 5 or 10 minutes about his glorious body. I'm looking forward to having a body like his glorious body. What? Have you got some little clues about Jesus' glorious body now? What's his body like now? So that when you read your Bible, what's he like in his body? What powers did his body possess after the resurrection? Right, they had mastery in what way? Just well, think. Can you tell me?
Walk through walls.
Walk through walls.
Levitate.
That's a word, isn't it? We ought to say he rose. He was not subject to gravity. He didn't float around, but in bus. And they were all looking. Mouths open. And a couple of angels said, Men of Galilee, what are you doing looking up into heaven like this? What are you doing? He's gone up. He who's gone up is he who shall also come. He's going to come again. Did he eat some food?
Yeah, he was able to just make food.
I mean, you better do a little bit of thinking about the fact that Jesus ate some food. Some honeycomb and some fish.
He was a cook.
He made a fire. Well, I mean, did he rub a few sticks together? You know, by his word, he lit a fire. He made things appear out of nothing. The powers. Oh, it's wonderful. And you shall have a body like his glorious body. Does that mean to say that you can light a fire someplace? Yes. Without rubbing any sticks together. Does it mean that you eat food and yet you don't need to go to the toilet?
I hope so.
I'm not being unpleasant. I'm trying to show you that we've got a resurrection coming. We're going to have a body. It's yours. You're going to have a body and you will be recognizable and yet you will be unrecognizable. You will have a body that if you look at it, if I was to look at it sometimes, you know, when John saw glorious Jesus in visionary form in the book of the Revelation tell me he was taken up into heaven and he heard the glorious singing going on up there, and then the elders, he wept when he was told that no one could open this book. You've read this in chapter 5 of the book of the Revelation. And someone said, now the elder said, no, don't you cry, John. And I looked, he's up in heaven and he's seeing Jesus. It's a vision, it's true. But when he looked at him, he looked like what?
A lamb
having been slain. And yet they called him a lion. And he later on appears in the book of the Revelation and he is lion-like. You know, he comes, he's got a sword coming out of his mouth. I mean, a body that's like that, that can, to the onlooker, it's a body that's transparent, you see. Now, at the moment, I reckon you're glad you haven't got a transparent body. I bet you're glad that every thought was isn't written across your face for all to see. I'm glad. But you know, your glorious body is going to have this capacity of transparency. By that, I mean it's not glassy. What I mean is that what you're thinking and what you are shall be able to shine forth through you. Your lamb-likeness will be evident. Your lamb-like courage will be evident. This is the kind of body we'll have, a body like his. That's what he says.
Glorious.
Glorious body indeed. Will it age? I'm aging a bit. Some people age terribly, don't they? You know, and others, is one of the things about people. You know, they don't age so much. It's true. It's true, as Westerners, Caucasians, usually the old crow's feet come and, you know, everything starts sagging. Whereas with Asian people, it's not quite so like that. But we all age. But will our new body age? No. Like unto his glorious body. Do you know when Daniel looked, he saw one like unto the Son of Man. And do you know, he looked at him. And he had hairs, white like wool. Yeah. He looked ancient. And yet he's like a youth. Because, of course, that's what life's like. It's ancient, it's wise, and yet it's youthful, it's virile, it's... You see, we shall have a body like unto his glorious. Well, there's so many things that you can think about this. Resurrection to come. When shall it happen? I mean, when will I get my new body? Only when he comes in his body. Everything's tied to him. When he comes, you say, will I be male? Or male? Or will I be androgynous? Who can say? There definitely won't be any having babies there. All that aspect's all been swallowed up with something greater. You say, what happens to people when they die then? That's another subject. When they go in the grave? But we already said that the day is going to come when everybody is going to hear his voice. Amen? So here's a little teaching about the resurrection. I feel something of his resurrection life now. You do. I hope you do. I hope you're learning to hear his voice. Listen. Mum. Mum. Or mom. At home with the children. In difficult circumstances. Just listen. Just take 30 seconds to be quiet. You'll hear him say, I'm Lord. Man, in the midst of your busyness and your raging mind, stop a moment. Find he'll be resurrection, speaking resurrection. I am. Hallelujah. So, I expect I'm a little bit nearer the grave than many of you in the room. Do you know, last year, someone on his deathbed called Hazel and I close. Whispered things in our ears. I won't say what he said. There are things you have to put on yourself. Wait. About the remainder of our years on the earth. This man prophesied, a good friend, on his deathbed. Just have to hold him there. Don't know how much longer we've got. I want to glorify God in my body now. Know his resurrection life working in me now. And then you'll hear the news. You know, Werner's gone. You know, race run. Finished his race. Where will I be? I'll be with the Lord. Body will be a-mouldering in the grave like old John Brown's. But when he who is the resurrection comes, Jesus, I shall be raised. Amen. The resurrection.